Greg Wyshynski. He's editor of the Puck Daddy blog and Yahoo Sports. Also co-host of our Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast. He is very much part of that aforementioned community. Indeed, I would say he is considered to be, what the hell was that?
It was a truck.
Okay.
I'm talking to you from beautiful Central Park in Manhattan.
Why are you in Manhattan? Everything's in Vegas, dude.
Because I'm going to Buffalo today. Puck Daddy West, Josh Cooper and Jen Neal handle the awards.
Okay.
When I go to Vegas, I like to go to Vegas, if you know what I mean. And the real problem for me now is that with a team there, I'm probably going to have to go to Vegas and work at some point and not do Vegas like I do Vegas.
You know what? I've never been to Vegas.
You're probably better for it.
I don't know about that.
If you go, the minute you go and come back, if you get it, and I think you, knowing you, you'll get it. You live your entire life waiting to go back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably. See, I don't make enough money to gamble. I don't know. I kind of like natural attractions when I go someplace as opposed to just being in buildings. But anyhow, it's neither here nor there. The NHL is in Vegas. I'd rather be in Central Park. I would rather be in New York any day of the year than Vegas. So I think you've made the right decision there. Having said that, the NHL is expanding to Vegas. How many NHL players are we going to lose in the next year to the vices of Vegas? How many NHL players are we going to, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? How many NHL players are going to be staying in Vegas?
I kind of like the idea of, along with upper body and lower body injury, we're going to see a parenthetical phrase that just says Vegas has him when a player misses a game. But no, I don't know. I find it. I've talked to a lot of players about the Vegas thing, and you know, some of them said it's going to be a real draw for them, you mm-hmm. know, or for their peers to go there and sign there and play there. But it remains to be seen. I think the only thing that we know about this Vegas team straight out of the gate is that the NHL is going to do everything in its power to make it competitive, not only through the expansion draft rules, in which pretty much every fourth best defenseman on a team will be available to this Vegas team in the draft, along with a lot of pretty good goaltenders. But also, you know, giving them pretty good draft lottery odds, things like that. The last thing they want is to go to Vegas and not have the team be competitive within the first 3 years.
Right. You know, I keep thinking back to when the Montreal Expos were around and teams used to, some teams, especially the, you know, teams like the St. Louis Cardinals, who were as good as they were in the 80s, they're quite often fueled by cocaine and rampant sex, let's be honest. Whitey Herzog used to fly them in the day of the game. Even if they were in New York, they would stay overnight in a hotel and fly into Montreal the day of the game because he didn't want to take a chance on giving the, you know, giving the Yahoos a night off in Montreal because he knew he wouldn't be able to put nine healthy or nine sober guys together out on the field. And I'd mentioned that to somebody the other day when we were talking about Vegas. And this guy made kind of an interesting point. He said, first of all, you know, different times. You know, if you want to gamble now, if you're an athlete and you want to, there's so many ways to gamble that it's not like, my God, we're going to jump in the plane and go gamble in Vegas. If you really want to gamble, there are other ways to do it. But this guy also made the point. He said, look at what the Cleveland Cavaliers did after they clinched the title. They flew en masse to Vegas to party. Then they flew on to Cleveland. The way professional athletes live now, this guy's point was, hey, if they want to go to Vegas and blow their brains out, they're going to go to Vegas and blow their brains out whether or not there's a team. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, the first thing I'd say is that it all really depends on how you manage these things. I mean, if you manage it well, you get the Edmonton Oilers dynasty of the 1980s. If you manage it poorly, you get the Philadelphia Flyers of the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Right, trade everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's really one of those things. But, you know, your point about gambling is an interesting one because I think one of the things that people are kind of wondering about is how you have a National Hockey League team in a city with legalized sports gambling. And from what I gather, the NHL has not made a request as of yet to take Vegas games off the board in Vegas in the same manner in which, like, UNLV games, for example, you can't gamble on when they're at home. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But the point was made by somebody the other day, like, all this concern about sports gambling and, you know, what if somebody, you know, some guy in a cheap suit comes and muffles a player and tells him to score an own goal to beat the spread or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's sports gambling all over. I mean, you could bet it on it in Canada. Mm-hmm. You can bet on it in a number of places. And the idea that going to Vegas is all of a sudden going to corrupt the game is a little bit naive, I think.
Having said that, if I'm Vegas, I'm asking for a 12:35 local time start every Saturday or Sunday.
Well, the start time is going to be interesting, right? Because, like, I think of my own sort of timeline when I'm in Vegas. And I thought to myself, a weekday game starting at 6 o'clock local time, mm-hmm. would be perfect. That's like game's over by 9. You can go out and gamble. You can go out to a nice dinner, do the whole thing. But at the same time, you also have to think about all of the people that are going to be coming to these games,
right.
that, you know, work in Vegas and live in Vegas, and what time's going to work for them to come down to the Strip and see a game. That's the other key too on this one, Jeff, is like, it's going to be pretty easy for anybody who's staying in Vegas as a tourist to come see these games. The arena's right on the Strip. But I've heard from a lot of locals that kind of avoid the Strip like New Yorkers avoid Times Square. They're a little bit worried about parking. They're a little bit worried about access. There isn't like a train that goes directly from the outskirts of Vegas to this arena. And I think there's a little bit of concern about how the fan base will access this place on, say, a weeknight.
Shifting focus to the NHL draft, which will be Friday in Buffalo on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario starting at 7 p.m. Which team's pick most intrigues you right now, either for how it will be exercised in the draft or the possibility that the pick gets moved? Is Columbus's pick kind of the one a lot of people are focusing on right now?
I think it's a tie between Columbus and Edmonton. You know, Columbus's pick is one where, you know, the expectation is they need so much help that it's maybe time to move that pick. And you know, maybe somebody completely loves Pyarvi to the point where they're going to trade up and deal a pretty big package to get that pick. So there's that. But the Edmonton pick is one where you're just like, all right, another forward? Like, we all know the areas of need for this team, and we all know the incredible collection of young players, some of whom haven't fulfilled their potential, that they can deal to get that help, to get that defenseman that they need. You know, when do they move this pick? When do they move one of these kids? Like, mm-hmm. we've been waiting a couple of years now for the shoe to drop on the core of this team, and is it going to be this year, and is it going to be in concert with trading that pick as well?
Intrigued about the report you guys had and other people have had about the Chicago Blackhawks kicking the tires on Evgeny Malkin, and you know, the first question is, how does the money work out? But what did you make of that report? Because we know the Blackhawks, look, we know that the Blackhawks are not afraid to do, you know, to make radical moves when it involves a salary cap.
It didn't make a lot of sense logically from where these teams are. I mean, you know, for example, like the idea that you would add Malkin to a payroll that already has Taves and Kane, and you're looking at over $30 million against the cap each season committed to three forwards, is kind of nutty. From what I gather, the Chicago media heard the rumor last week, so there might be something to them having inquired about it. But, you know, some insiders have already kind of shut it down. Is it not going to be? There's no fire to the smoke. It intrigues me. And I was looking at the numbers, and the only thing that really made sense was if the Blackhawks offloaded Brent Seabrook in that deal for Malkin, there would still have to be some numbers worked out to make the whole thing happen. But that kind of intrigued me. But then you look at it logically, and it's like, the Penguins are still very much in a window to win now in mm-hmm. the prime of their stars' careers, and Malkin is one of those stars. And pretty much every single player that would be involved in a high-salaried transaction like this has a no-movement clause.
Right.
So you're asking for a lot of dominoes to fall for this thing to ever come to fruition. But I'll say one thing. We would never talk about the Blackhawks' problem with second-line center again, I think, if they actually did pull off that trade.
That would certainly not resurface. Greg, we're going to let you scoot. I appreciate you doing this. Enjoy Central Park and enjoy Buffalo. It actually, maybe I've been brainwashed by my friend Mike Harrington, but it sounds like it's going to be a terrific show in Buffalo.
It's really going to be a terrific show. And by any time I get to go up and spend quality time with Buffalo Sabres GM Tim Murray, I'm in heaven. He is Dwight Schrute from The Office come to life, and one of the single most entertaining men that I've ever come across in this game.
Well, it sounds like it's gonna be a good time. And I mean, one thing we know about Buffalo, they will definitely do it upright. Thanks so much for doing this, Greg. Safe travels.
Thanks, bud.